maybe to help fix your family, or at least to get you some answers that you may need if you have an adolescent teenager. We've got the author of the book, Crazy Stressed, Saving Today's Overwhelmed Teens with Love, Laughter, and the Science of Resilience. We have Dr. Michael Bradley, clinical psychologist and leading expert on adolescent behavior. Dr. Bradley, I'm glad somebody's an expert on this behavior. Thanks you for taking
Well, check out with my own kids before you call me an expert, but that's another subject.
The book, Crazy Stress, you talk about how kids are overwhelmed these days. Are they really, or is it just the new version of being overwhelmed?
No, they are really, really. It's over the past five decades, we've seen an epidemic growth in clinical anxiety and depression and even suicidal behavior among teenagers, to the point where we do see it as an epidemic. And it seems really odd because kids today seem to have more advantages than they ever did in the past, but they are suffering.
I'm looking at something you have in one of the pages here. Why am I so confused, speaking about the parents? For two reasons. You say the first is that parenting teens has always been hard, and much of the parenting teens today is the same as it ever was. But it's confused because our memory sucks and our parents were nice enough not to tell us the real deal of our own adolescence. So we can blame our parents for this problem, I guess.
Yeah, we tend to forget how crazy we were as teenagers. Our parents remember the real deal, but we sort of edit our memories, a revisionist history thing. But the fact is that today, in addition to being normally crazy, the world around our kids is so crazy that it's causing these terrible problems.
So what is the source of that crazy? Is it other people, other events? What's going on?
It's a perfect storm of a number of things. One, drug and alcohol abuse just skyrocketed over the past couple of decades and stayed there, so that was one factor. The biggest factor is the electronics, the screens. We had no idea what we were doing when we handed these screens, the iPads, computers, and the smartphones to little kids and thought that they were just kind of fun phones. These things have caused tremendous stress in children and adolescents in ways we never anticipated.
Is there more hostility in the same sort of things related to social behaviors or things like that? I mean,
it's a great question. Bullying is what you remember as bullying is down, the fistfights in the hallway, but cyberbullying has exploded. The kids are essentially the same in terms of their basic meanness to one another, but the electronics have given the jerks incredible power. It's sort of like giving nuclear weapons to terrorists. Kids can, at the push of a button, ruin your social perception in your entire high school. It just spreads like wildfire in seconds. And these are the kinds of stresses that are wearing the kids down.
Your book also addresses, besides drug, you talk about, sex in here, and you actually term something meaner sex. If you could delicately kind of tell us what's going on there or what's that related to?
Well, because, again, of the electronics and the type of pornography the kids are accessing, now we have a violence stream going through sexual activity where kids are being conditioned at young ages because of what they're seeing on these screens that lovemaking involves forms of violence. And we've got this explosion of things I don't want to shock your audience with, but very unusual sexual behaviors in young folks, males and females. Time magazine did a big piece on this back in November, where males are getting together and saying, you can't give kids these phones because it's ruined our sex lives, because what we saw on the phones is not the way it works in the real world.
We're talking today with Dr. Michael Bradley. The book is called Crazy Stressed. There's a picture of a teen with his or her head. I wouldn't make judgment on gender on this book, but the head on the book here with the pencil in that. Is school also an issue with this, too? Education, learning, what we want them to learn, how fast or how much, or the
education? Yeah, in two ways, we're seeing kind of a polarization in the educational system. We've got we've lost the middle ground. We had a whole bunch of kids now that schools have just given up on. They just kind of throw worksheets at them, watch movies, don't put any demands on them at all, just, don't kill anybody, and we won't give you a hard time. And then at the other end, we're pressurizing kids with incredible academic demands in high school that I didn't deal with till college and graduate school, these AP courses and so forth, where kids are trying to get by on 5 hours of sleep a night, trying to keep up with the workload. It is running them into the ground. We've lost the middle ground, the middle class again, if you will, with education, with teenagers.
So what can we as parents do to help, or is it up to the kids?
No, it's all about the parents, and it's really important the parents hear that, because a lot of people throw up their hands, say, oh, there's nothing I can do about that culture. There's a heck of a lot you can do as a parent. We've studied the kids who have done well over the past couple of decades. You know, how did they make it through this crazy culture? And we've kind of isolated a set of characteristics. We call it the seven C's of resilience, factors the parents can work on. Just day-to-day parenting, common sense stuff that really helps build a kid's resilience, helps them make better decisions in the face of the crazy world they're dealing with.
I was watching a Frontline special dealing with violent teens, and they talked about how they're getting these sort of adult sentences, but then they're also talking about the teen's brain and the adolescent brain. I guess that plays a key into a lot of these things that are happening. And what should we understand about an adolescent's brain that maybe can help us in some of these issues?
Well, speaking clinically, it ain't an adult brain. It's very, very different. In fact, the neurologists say teenagers are not small adults as we view them in this culture. You know, we let them make decisions about sex and drugs and all sorts of things. In fact, they're better viewed as small children. Their brains don't work right because they're going through a huge renovation process, moving that kid from being a child to becoming an adult. But that's a complex renovation, and it causes all sorts of strange behaviors and inability to make decisions, to kind of anticipate consequences. Remember, you did dumb things as a teenager, and your father would say, "Why? What were you thinking?" And the truthful answer was, I wasn't thinking. I was just doing. It just seemed fun at the time. And that's the state of a teen brain. It's always been that way. What's changed is the culture around them has become much more dangerous.
And I would assume with a lot of these, you used to be able to show off to a friend. Now you can show off almost to the whole world, which creates maybe a little heightened more danger that takes place.
Well, you got that one right, and you can't take it back. Once you hit that send button, boy, it's out there forever, the sexting stuff that's going on, the threats. You know, back in the day, I'd get, all angry with my bully, John McMahon, and I'd say, I'm going to kill you, and he'd laugh and walk away. Well, today, a kid texts that, and the cops are at the door an hour later and off to the races.
Well, I wonder if that comes under that sort of, you have a thing here about criticism and praise. You know, we have sometimes that's one of the ways we do. We think, okay, we criticize somebody, don't do that, or you're doing great, You tell me, I guess, that too much of both is not good, or neither of those is really the answer?
Yeah, focusing criticism, tearing somebody down, obviously, that just gets everybody's morale down if that's all they hear. But senseless praise and unconditional, oh, you're the most wonderful kid in the whole universe, and you're the best player in the whole league, and you're the prettiest girl in the school, that's dumb. That also hurts kids because it's not real. Praise that works is finding something your kid did that means something. Like they hung in there with a challenging school assignment, and you say, you know something? That was really cool what you did. You hung in there, and you got that problem solved. Way to go. You know something? I saw you be nice to your little sister this morning, and I know you're tired in the morning, and you took a minute, and you smiled, and you helped her fix her scooter. That was terrific, son. So always find real things to praise, to reinforce. Don't just throw the fluff at them. That actually weakens them.
You know, they always talk about when you're parenting, what you kind of get as the teen maybe was already planted the seeds when they were younger. What things can you do, I guess, in anticipation of these crazy, stressed teen years to is it possible to make it a little easier for you?
Absolutely. Yeah. One, be sure if you haven't handed them the electronics, be very careful about that. View the screens as driving a car and be sure that the kid has got a lot of training, supervision before you let them solo on these screens. That's a huge piece of this. The rest is working on your relationship with your kid, and it's not telling them what to do, but rather wherever you can, hang out and try to get the kid to talk about his world. They love that. Go in late at night, with a hacky sack, lie on the bed next to him, throw the ball up in the air and just say, hey, tell me something good that happened today. Tell me something that sucked that happened today. It doesn't take a lot of time. It's just showing that you're there, you love them. Parents are the lighthouse for these kids in this culture. They're out there on the stormy seas, and we have to be dull, stupid, boring, wildly predictable, same old, same old. It calms our kids to know that we're there keeping an eye on them and that we love them.
Is this a maturity or an age thing? How do we know when we can kind of take our own deep breath and realize we've made it through the storm?
Yeah, it's kind of both. The really tough stuff is typically over by 18, 20. The brain doesn't stop developing till, get this, age 25. But the behavior starts to really calm down, and we do say a lot of this is playing for time, just keeping your kids safe. You know, we say alive at 25 is what one of my peers says, and then they're typically fine. They take off on their own. So, you know, don't get too downtrodden if you're going through a bad time with your kid. It's just another chapter in the book. Play for time, love your kid, and you'll get through it.
Crazy Stressed, our guest today, Dr. Michael J. Bradley. Thanks for sharing the time with us. And if people want to find out more about this, the book, or, you know, is there a good resource for them?
You can check out our website. It's docmikebradley.com, DocMikeBradley. And a lot of resources there. And send me an email, chat with other parents. They're going through some hard times, and it helps ease the burden.
We all are in this together, even though sometimes we feel like it's us against them or it's a one-on-one. There is resources out there, and we appreciate your time this morning.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Crazy Stress, Dr. Michael J. Bradley here on WEOL.